the most important thing, that we share the gospel with the lost. That's one reason why it's really important that you have a good testimony and that you try to be friendly and reach out with the gospel. Invite people to church, pass out tracts, pray for your neighbors, be kind to people, and do whatever it takes to allow the Spirit of God to use you to facilitate the Spirit of God saving someone. As we share the gospel with people, the Spirit of God works in their heart and removes the blindness from their eyes, because this world is Satan's domain right now. It's Satan's domain. I don't know if you noticed that. Look at the outrage over the prospect of Roe v. Wade being overturned. NARAL said their donations have gone up 1,400%. They consider murdering an innocent human being to be sacred. We live in an evil time. And it is important that the only thing that will help anybody is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love every person, including people that are pro-abortion and activists and that are spray painting abortion is a right on churches' doors. I love them. Why? Because Jesus died for them, and we're supposed to take that love to them. Only thing that's going to change them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we live in a time where we are fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it's really, really important that we recognize that Satan is real. If you think Satan's not real or you're not even in the battle, then you're not even a factor. As I fly airplanes, air traffic control will tell me if there's traffic, if I'm on an IFR flight plan, that there's another airplane in the sky that I need to be aware of so that we don't accidentally run into each other. But if that is at a different elevation or their course changes, ATC will tell me that that traffic is no longer a factor. You, in your Christian life, can either be a factor in the battle or you can be no factor. I encourage you to roll up your sleeves and stay engaged in the battle, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's get the gospel out, because that's the only thing that's going to help anybody. During the Great Tribulation, Satan's going to be able to totally deceive people. Right now, he can only partially deceive people. You know why? Because at the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, because the Holy Spirit is present inside believers now. And so during the tribulation period, especially the first half, there's still the 144 witnesses, the two witnesses and the 144,000 that are sharing the gospel, but even they have to be protected divinely or they would be murdered. And so we're coming to a point in our passage today where Satan is going to be kicked out of heaven, and it's going to be fabulous to watch. But you aren't strong enough to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. Only by reliance upon the power of Christ do you stand a chance. And that's why I'm so proud of you for being in church, for prioritizing spiritual things, for focusing on what matters, and learning to live every moment abiding in Christ, dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit, who has already defeated the enemy that we're going to physically see cast out of heaven. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so we're going to resume studying chapter 12 in Book of Revelation. So please open to Revelation chapter 12. So far, we've seen several different characters in our study. We've seen a woman, and that woman is Israel. We have seen a man-child. The man-child is Jesus. And we've seen a dragon, and the dragon is Satan. And Satan's been trying to exterminate the Jewish people and eliminate the Jewish Messiah ever since time really began. And so there's going to come a day when Satan will no longer have access to God's throne. We see in the book of Job that Satan has access to God's throne. Satan has talked to God about you today. Did you hear what I said? Satan has talked to God about you today. He has made accusations about things you thought, things you said. You were late for church and you were snippy with your spouse. You do whatever you did. That was maybe in my house. Maybe in my house is when where that happened. I'm saying Satan is always accusing you. But Christ is our advocate. As I travel, I see in other countries, India in particular, an attorney isn't called an attorney. There's a shingle outside an office and it says advocate. You know what that is? That's an attorney. You know who Jesus is? He's your advocate. And while we have this adversary, as my brother-in-law said, and he's so right, while we have an adversary, we have an advocate. Amen? And Jesus Christ the righteous will interject in that conversation, I paid for that sin. Isn't it wonderful that we have Jesus Christ the righteous as our intercessor, our advocate on our behalf? Wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay, but we see other places that Satan has access to talk to God, and that access is going to be revoked, and he's going to be cast into the earth. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, let's review Satan's history. Satan was created to be the cherub, the anointed covering. He literally had direct charge of God's throne to protect God's glory. He is quite possibly the most powerful angel God has created. But he let it go to his head, and he thought, I can be like the Most High. And there were five times he said, I will be like the Most High. I will do this. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to be as great as God. So he really wants to dethrone God. But Satan is an angel of light. He's not a horned-hooved guy in a red suit with a pointed tail and a pitchfork. He comes disguised as an angel of light. And so when you and I, as humans, we're looking for something wonderful and something good, we often find Satan because he's impersonating everything that's good, and it looks so wonderful and so beautiful. When we give our dog heartworm medicine, she thinks it's a wonderful treat and that she's been a really good girl and she deserves a treat for being amazing. In fact, our dog's never been amazing one day of her life. But on the first of the month, I want her to have her treat because my wife likes her. And I sort of like her sometimes. I realized yesterday she looks like Chewbacca with her underbite. If I showed you a picture of both, you'd be like, ha ha, you're right, they're cousins. Fortunately, she's smaller or she might kill me for saying that. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. So we see that Michael is the fourth person that we see, personage. We saw first the woman, Israel, a man-child, Jesus, a dragon, Satan. Now we see Michael. He's a powerful angel that God has appointed to watch over his chosen people, the Jews, Israel. And so Michael and his angels are fighting. And now I want you to just remember that God has twice as many angels as Satan has demons. Isn't that a comforting thought? Not only is God more powerful, he's the creator. Satan is much, 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 much less powerful. He's the created. He's not omnipotent. He's not deity. He is a defeated loser, but he only has half the forces. Not only is he a loser, but he only has half the forces. So how can he wreak havoc in the lives of a believer? He can get you to believe lies. And he's done that so well. His track record is fantastic with this. He gets humans to believe lies about God. Remember, he approached Eve in the garden and said, yea, hath God said? So what Satan does is he asks a question, gets you to doubt what God says, and then he tells you a lie. And he does that over and over through social issues in our in the world today. My goodness, Satan's the prince and power of the air. He's the prince of darkness. He is ruling and reigning over the earth right now. And so we are citizens of heaven who are living on an enemy battlefield. And that's why we don't feel like we fit in here, because we don't. You're not home yet. Take comfort in that and rely on the power of the Spirit of God to win the victory every day. But nobody fights God and wins, and that's the case here because Michael is fighting Satan and the angels are fighting the demons. So we notice this is the same event in Daniel chapter 12 that starts the Great Tribulation. By the way, Daniel is the key to understanding Revelation. And we're going to study Daniel again sometime as well because I love it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. You see, he has a special task. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, this is the Jewish people, is God speaking to Daniel, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, this is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Boys, let me ask you to skip ahead a couple verses. I want to show you this graphic that I sketched because I want you to see it's like a top hat. This is a quick sketch of the end times. The cross happened 2,000 years ago. We're at the church age. The next thing that's going to happen on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb in the Bema seat when we get up into heaven, which will be wonderful. We're going to meet Christ in the air. By the way, if you die before the rapture, you're still coming with us. God is so good, and he's so fair. He gives you a 6-foot head start. The Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you're in the church age. You trust Christ now. You're going up in the rapture. Even if you have already lost a loved one, their body is coming up with you at the same time. Pretty awesome. Okay, so we see the Bema seat there, and then the second coming occurs 7 years later. But the last half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. Now, why does it become the Great Tribulation? And here's kind of why. It's because Satan gets cast out of heaven. And the only place he has... Have you ever noticed that when a really misbehaving toddler is sent to their room, that the destructive forces are concentrated to the room? It's no longer the living room that's in danger. It's no longer the kitchen that's in danger, but the room gets pretty much devastated, right? That's what's going to happen. Satan's getting confined to his room, and now he's going to go all out. And that's why the second half of tribulation, one reason why the second half of tribulation is so much worse than the first half. And the first half was bad enough, only already half the world's population has died. It's you think times are rough now, you ain't seen nothing yet. But the tribulation is God showing to mankind and to Satan that rebellion against him is futile. It does not work. Humans are addicted to this idea of self-help and I can do this. And we think in our pointy little heads that I just want to do it my way. No, when you want to do it your way, you're doing it Satan's way. There's only two ways in the universe. There's God's way and Satan's way. And if you don't want to do it God's way, and instead you're like, I just want to do it my way, what you're saying is, I want to do it Satan's way. Do you all recognize the truth of this? There's God's way, which is the right way, which is being yielded to him, trusting that Christ died for your sins and rose again, living yielded to the power of the Spirit of God. And there's Satan's way that says, I will. It starts with the words, I will. Can I just encourage you? Can I just beseech you as a church, in your own heart, when there's moments when you have an attitude of, I want to do it my way, can you just go before the Lord and ask him to purify and change you? Because if you want to do it your way, you're telling God you don't want to do it his way. Can a believer do it Satan's way? Absolutely, they do all the time. They do all the time. It's not right, but it happens. It's not good because you're less effective for the Lord. Satan wants to make you less effective for the Lord. Okay, let me show you a prettier version of that same graphic that has some nice artwork. The next thing that's going to happen, the rapture of the church, the tribulation, the midpoint, when Satan will reveal himself and he'll desecrate the temple in Jerusalem at that midpoint of the tribulation period. And then, of course... For 42 months, he's going to wreak havoc on the earth. Let's keep going in our text. Verse 8, 12:8. And prevailed not. Oh, I love that. Loser. I love it. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now, where do we first learn about a serpent in the Bible? Genesis chapter 3. Satan was more subtle, right? And he... Subtle means he was sneaky. And guess what? He's still really sneaky. There's a lot of people in this world that think they're standing for good things and they're actually not standing for good things at all. Right? You think you're standing for one of the churches that got desecrated this last week, they spray painted abortion is a right. They think they're standing for human rights. Well, how about the human that's not born? How about we let them be born and maybe they have the right to abort you? How about which human should we respect? If it is a right. See, people are so, Satan is subtle, and it's important that we recognize this. Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, wow. I love what Dr. Henry Morris said. All the beliefs and philosophies of men are humanistic philosophies, denying the absolutes of God and his word, and all humanism is based on the grand deception of evolution. We didn't evolve from nothing. We were created by the loving hands of Almighty God. He formed us out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into us the breath of life. His son, by the way, was active and present at creation. The Creator literally came and died for us to reconcile us after our rebellion. In the Garden of Eden, Satan got Adam and Eve to follow him in his rebellion. And so humans exist in a state of rebellion against the Lord. And so Jesus died for us, and the moment you trust him, he gives you his Holy Spirit. You now have two natures. You can yield to the Lord. Your new nature cannot sin, by the way. That's what the book of 1 John teaches us, that your new nature cannot sin. But your old nature can do nothing but. What that means is you have an enemy outpost within you. That's why it's so important, believer, that you yield to the power of the Spirit of God. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. It is a supernatural life. Yes or no? Can you live the Christian life in your own strength? No. Are you utterly dependent upon the power of the Spirit of God at all times? Yes. Are you actively relying upon the power that's there? If you're not, it's not going to work so good. Guys, have you had a lot of bugs in your house? The beetles have shown up at our house. I was crushing them with the paper towels, but you have to like fold it over several times. Otherwise, when you crush them, it gets on your fingers and you smell like a bug. And I hate that smell. So I eventually busted out the vacuum, and now the vacuum stands in the middle of the house. Anytime there's a bug, I just go over and suck them. I don't know what happened. I don't know how come they don't crawl out of there, but they never come back out. Like once they go in, they just stay in there with their friends, I guess, and die. I hope. I guess. I never asked. It's gone. But I had it unplugged, and I flipped it on, and nothing happened. You know why? Because it wasn't plugged in. Christian, if you're not plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, you can flip the switch all day long, but you are dead in the water without trusting Christ. You need Jesus. My father-in-law used to allow me to borrow his boat and go fishing in Florida, in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was a small boat, but fast, and even I managed to get it grounded on the sandbars sometimes, because in the Coosawhatchie River, the sandbars shift. There's channels, but I'm trying to go where the fish are, not where the boats are, so sometimes I'd be on plane and hit a sandbar. I'm a genius. Somehow, with a storm coming, and my son, who is about this tall, present with me, I had some electrical issues or something. I'm not sure what the exact issue was. To this day, I'm not sure what the issue was. But I had to call CETO with a storm coming. In Florida, there's a storm every afternoon. Guess what genius was captaining a boat in the Gulf of Mexico with a storm coming and CETO an hour away? This genius. I was literally dead in the water. So I considered just grabbing a couple flotation devices and the dog. We had a little dog with us. And swimming to shore, but I realized we'd get struck by lightning even then, so we basically laid in the bottom of the boat for an hour until CETO showed up and pulled us home. You know what we were? We were dead in the water without external power. And so this diesel engine, we got to smell diesel fuel for about 2 hours as it chugged us home, and we got to inhale the fumes because that's nothing else to breathe except that. But when Jesus pulls you, there's no noxious fumes. It's how you were designed. God wants to pull you through this life, carry you through this life. You depend on him. Stop trying to do it under your own power. You were never designed to do it under your own power. Stop trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and instead rely upon him. It's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do it how God says and it's going to work. Do it how God says and it's going to work. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Who is shouting in heaven? You and me. Because that's where we are. Now, won't it be grand when we're no longer in this fallen earth and we're up there shouting the victory and Satan gets thrown down to the earth? You know what it is? It's like an enemy battlefield getting smaller. When Satan's access is restricted from heaven, it means that the battlefield is getting smaller and he's about to lose. It's really a good sign when the battlefield gets smaller for the enemy. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now has come salvation. How exciting. I think this is looking forward really to the second coming. when Satan's cast to the earth, we have this sense that while Christ's power isn't on full display yet, it's about to be. 42 months from this moment it will be, and it's going to be awesome. Who else? The Old Testament saints are going to be there with us, that Christ brought to heaven with him when he took captivity captive and took those in Hades paradise with him to heaven. They're going to be shouting with us, and the tribulation saints who've been killed up to that point. Wow, that'll be a great shout. I love winning. I love being on the winning team. And Jesus, you are more than a conqueror right now, believer. You are more than a conqueror because you're in Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ, well, you need to, because you don't want to go through the tribulation. Trust me, you don't want to go through the tribulation. We've been studying how bad it's going to get, and we're halfway through the book, and it's about to get a whole lot worse. So, now is come salvation. It's referring to the second coming. And strength. God is going to bear his mighty arm. You guys have seen with the sun coming out lately, right? Have you ever seen the old wife beater shirts, the sleeveless shirts that says sun's out, guns out, right? You've seen that, right? I mean, Jesus is going to show his mighty power. And it starts with Satan getting kicked out of heaven, but it really is going to show when he comes and defeats all the enemies. Unfortunately, they're humans that have followed Satan completely and are completely deceived and are trying to fight against God at the Battle of Armageddon. Wow, is it going to be awesome to be part of that victorious triumph. And the power of his Christ, he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron during the tribulation period. So where is Satan right now, and what is he doing? He's before the throne of God. And so I drew this little graphic. I want you to see that he has access not just to the earth, but also to heaven. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, he's going to get kicked out of heaven, and he's going to go down to the earth for 42 months, and he's going to be there until he's bound for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be loosed for a short time and then cast into the lake of fire after experiencing judgment at the great white throne. That's what's going to happen, and the Bible is really clear about all this. And so he's not going to have access to heaven, and I'm really happy about it. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. It's as if the judge has issued the order, but the bailiff hasn't gone out and cuffed the criminal and chucked him in the brig. That's where he belongs, right? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So very, very cool. Dr. Morris again says this, and he's right on. The rapture of the two witnesses, the breaking of the Jewish temple treaty by the beast, the flight of Israel, that's into the wilderness, probably Petra, the casting out of Satan and the appropriation of world power by the beast must all occur at this midpoint of the tribulation. You and I won't be there. We'll be watching from heaven. And I'm sure there's banisters. They're safe, I'm sure. You can't fall over them. But you can see, because we're going to be so excited about it. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, and we have an advocate. Jesus is our advocate. I love that. Let's look out for self-confidence. Let's depend upon the Lord. You guys, we can't afford to be self-confident. We are sinners and we are weak. Don't try to fight Satan in your own strength. You will lose. But if you rely upon the power of the Spirit of Christ, he wins. One of my friends says this, and he's right. I tried, I failed, I trusted, he succeeded. Amen. That's how victory works in the Christian life. Don't try to do it on your own. My wife is coming in with the kids in a few minutes. I want you to see in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The blood of Christ, his victory is our victory. Because he won and we're in him, that's why we're winners. And so we need the blood of Christ. There's nothing disgusting about, we think of the sight of blood as disgusting. There's nothing disgusting about the blood of Christ. What's disgusting is our vile sin that required the creator of the universe, the spotless Lamb of God, to have to shed his blood for guilty, sinful, dirty us. That's what's vile and disgusting. Our sin. Aren't you glad he loves us? Wow, he's so good. The word of their testimony. You know what I believe is going to happen during the tribulation period? Sharing these words that Christ died for your sins and rose again will be a capital offense. A lot of Christians are going to die. during the tribulation. They're going to trust. The only way you can go through the tribulation is you didn't trust Christ before the rapture. Is it urgent that you trust Christ? Yes. Should anybody go through the tribulation? No. Does anybody need to go through the tribulation? No. But humans are so stubborn. There's going to be a lot of people who do. And by the grace of God, a lot of them will trust Christ, which is wonderful. But now they have this terrible 7-year future ahead of them, if they live. Some of them will. We know some of them will, because that's how the earth's going to be populated after the second coming, is by people who trusted Christ during the tribulation. Their descendants will populate the world. But they were willing to speak truth at a time, the word of their testimony, at a time when it was not popular. They love not their lives unto death. Let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus more than anything? If you don't, you're an idolater, and you need to fall on your knees before God and confess your sin and love Him more than anything. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. It leaves room for nothing else. You're supposed to love Jesus so much that in comparison, you hate your family, you hate your spouse, you hate your kids. I already somewhat hate my dog. Julie's dog, excuse me. She's okay, but I mean, she only listens when she wants to. But she's a great picture of what God must think of as humans. Like, we asked her to come this morning. Julie called her for about 5 minutes before she was like, yeah, I guess I'll come over your way a little bit. But how must God feel? He's been calling humans for longer than 5 minutes, and we've been ignoring Him. So it's actually a great illustration for bad humanity, our dog. But look at this. Look at this, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So we're rejoicing because it's good news for us. Any victory for the Lord is good news for us, but it's a loss for those that are on the earth, because here comes Satan, and he is mad. Woe. So this is the third woe. Remember we talked about the three woes? This is the third woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's 42 months. This tyrant is going to be so angry during the pouring out of the seven bowls of wrath. He's going to be so angry. 3.5 years, 42 months, that he's going to wreak havoc on the earth. But rejoice. You and I get to rejoice. My goal and your goal is to reach the gospel, reach as many people as possible with the gospel, because the life raft expands to accommodate more drowning people. The world is drowning in sin. I'm going to heaven. I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can. And that should be your goal. Everything in your life should be geared toward that goal. This is a big deal. The clear gospel is a big deal. What is the clear gospel? That Christ died for our sins and rose again. My friend Yankee Arnold shared it so clearly at the Wild Game Dinner. Praise God for that event. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not go to hell, but have, present tense, right now, everlasting life. The moment you trust Christ, you are saved for how long? Forever. God loves you and me, but he hates our sin. Why does he hate it so much? Because he's perfect, and your sin can't come to heaven. It disqualifies you. But God in his mercy sent Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The moment you trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again, he gives you the free gift of eternal life, and what was separating you from a holy God is no longer separating you, and you are in Christ. Salvation is a free gift. Trust him. And then live yielded to him, not in order to get saved or stay saved, but because the only way a Christian can live in victory over sin is to live yielded to the Lord. You're saved no matter what once you trust Christ. But you having a victorious Christian life is entirely up to you. Will you live yielded, or are you stubborn? Is your attitude, well, I do it this way. I love you, but I don't care how you do it. You're supposed to do it God's way. If that bothers you, me saying that, I encourage you to go let the Lord deal with that problem in your heart. You don't have to like me, you don't have to listen to me, but you do need to like him, and you do need to listen to him. Amen? God loves you, and he wants you to live in victory. You can live in victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil right now. How? The same way you got saved, by grace through faith plus nothing. It's all about Jesus, not about you. You got saved by grace. Now you live the Christian life by grace. Flee from sin like it's a serpent, but rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do what's right. Don't justify sin in your life. If you have sin in your life, get it right. Get it right today. Christian, you can't afford to shelter sin in your life. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. The price for sin is enormous. So number one, trust Christ as your Savior. And then number two, walk with the Lord. Not in order to get saved or stay saved, but because you are saved and the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Why not plug in the crazy vacuum? You guys call it a sweeper. It's not sweeping anything. It's sucking up a bug. I'm not sweeping my ceiling. I'm sucking up a bug on the ceiling. It's called a vacuum. But it was invented in Ohio, so you guys can call it a sweeper all you want. Okay, fine. I don't get it, but whatever you want. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear one, please trust what Jesus did for you. His payment was sufficient. Nobody goes to heaven because they're good enough. The only people who make it to heaven are people who trust that Jesus paid it all, and you recognize you're not good enough. You're not sufficient. It's a spiritual battle. The only way you win is by accepting the victory that Christ already won. It's not about your self-effort. It's about trusting what he did. It's not about what you do, but about trusting what he did. It's not about what you do or don't do. It's about trusting what he did, that it was sufficient. Please trust him alone right now as your Savior. Let me change the challenge. Christian, if you've been trying to live the Christian life in your own strength, stop it. God called you to a supernatural life, and it can only be lived with supernatural strength, and you ain't got none. Rely on the power of the Spirit of God to produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, faith, gentleness, meekness, goodness, all the fruit of the Spirit. He'll do that in you if you'll live yielded to him. Don't say no to God. Don't say, but I want to do it my way. Instead, say, Lord, I want to do it your way. God's way is much better than your way, by the way. I trust you and know that, but it is. He loves you, and you will never lose doing it God's way. You only win. Father, I pray you'll bless these dear, dear folks. Pray you'll bless this dear lady that just got airlifted to the hospital, May. Father, we need you. We recognize we live in a world that Satan has. He's the god of this world. We don't fit in here. We don't belong because we're citizens of heaven. Thank you that we don't fit into this broken earth. Thank you that we fit into your rightly ordered kingdom, that you rule and reign. You're preparing us to reign with you. Help us to swallow our pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven. Help us to swallow our pride and live humbly before you, live yielded so that we're all practiced and ready to rule and reign with you during the tribulation, during the millennium period. Rejoice with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, be rewarded by you during the tribulation at the Bema Seat of Christ. We won't be here. We'll be with you. Bless my dear friends. Lord, may we honor you. May we reach the world. Please use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.